Donna Redwing is a lifelong activist, a former Interfaith Alliance staff and board member, and one of my most cherished friends. As Donna prepares to retire from her most recent position as executive director of One Iowa, I am so pleased to have her sit with us for a look back and for a bit of a look ahead. Donna, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. And you know, I love speaking with you, so thank you.
There have got to be mixed feelings about retiring at such a troubled time for our nation. I feel that. Are you feeling some of that?
You know, 3.5 weeks ago, I thought I was retiring, and the world was moving forward in a way that it seemed like it should. And then we had the elections, and it feels like here in Iowa and around the nation, we've gone to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's changed. And I think the scary part is we don't know what the changes will be. We have some idea, and I think there are people who are really frightened. But we don't know. We don't know what will come in January and beyond. And so I think this is a very, very hard time. So my first reaction was, oh, my gosh, you know, how can I retire? And then I thought, how could I not retire? Now is the time for me to be untethered from an organization. Now is the time for me to do, you know, there's inside work and there's outside work, right, mm-hmm. Walton?
Yes.
And I come from the generation of ACT UP, Queer Nation, and Lesbian Avengers. So I might have some fierce and fantastic times ahead.
That's a really great way to look at it, and I'm not at all surprised to hear you say that. You were called the most dangerous woman in America. I know you're proud of that. I'm proud of you for them calling you that. Tell our listeners how that label came about.
There was a wonderful writer for the Des Moines Register. His name was Rob Borsellini, and he covered a lot of the political and cultural things that went on in Iowa, especially during caucus season. And he was doing a piece on LGBT persons working on presidential campaigns. And this was back in the early 2000s, and I was Howard Dean's liaison to the LGBT community. And so he kind of honed in on me and made some phone calls. And when he called, I believe he called someone at the Christian Coalition, that's what they said about me. And as he dug a little deeper, though, it wasn't because I'm a mean, nasty, awful person. What he heard was that that I was dangerous because people liked me. One of the people said if I were their neighbor, they know that I would, you know, feed their dog and make sure their plants got watered. I was that kind of a person, and that's what made me dangerous. And I think there's a real lesson there. You know, when the faces and voices and stories of LGBT people get seen and heard, and we're your neighbor and your friend and your daughter and the person you like most at work, that's really dangerous to them in the culture war, because how can they then work against us?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the first times that I called you to let you know that you had been selected to receive the Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Award. That's enough in itself, but I want our listeners to know that the decision to give you that award was made with a group of people that I talked with about who ought to get the award. That involved President Gerald Ford, Andy Young, Bill Moyers, John Lewis, Joan Brown Campbell. So it was no little award that you were getting. Later, I called you to ask about you coming to work for Interfaith Alliance. What drew you to become involved in the Alliance enough to want to work in that agency?
Well, first of all, I hope your listeners know that anyone who meets and connects with the Reverend C. Welton Gaddy would want to work at the Interfaith Alliance. That's just a given. So that's there. To work with you was such an honor and privilege. I also, when I came to Interfaith Alliance, that was after, what, almost 20 years
right.
in the LGBT movement. And some of those years were pretty rough and tumble. You know, some of those years I was less of an advocate and more of an agitator.
Mm-hmm.
And so my introduction to Interfaith Alliance, it began to teach me another way of doing things. And the whole concept of civility and civil dialogue, the idea that we can meet people where they are, that we can disagree without being disagreeable. I think you'll remember the time Martin Marty had his conversation, his live public radio conversation, mm-hmm. and it was LGBT advocates and those who worked against us. It was pro-life and pro-choice people. It's through the Interfaith Alliance, and it's through working with people like you and connecting with folks like Martin Marty and even people like Bill Moyer that taught me that there's a different way that we can do business, and it's much, for me, much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, as I end my time here at One Iowa, not only have we, you know, created some great programming and it's a robust and wonderful organization, but I'm most known in Iowa because I have very public civil dialogue with those who work against us. And in this country, in this time, I think people are so hungry for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I credit the Interfaith Alliance with, I think, my maturation as a much kinder, more civil human being.
I'm curious, Donna, where do you think advocates of true religious freedom should be directing their energies right now?
We know that we don't know where the radical right is going, except in those places where they've told us. And they have said that they are going to try to pass RFRAs, the Statewide Religious Freedom Restoration Acts, across the country. And I think lovers of religious freedom, as our founders understood religious freedom, need to be prepared for that. And not prepared in response sometime in mid-January, but they need to start preparing now.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of the Interfaith Alliance and all of the issues that it engaged in, we know that reproductive health, for example, is going to be on the chopping block. We know that, you know, immigration, LGBT equality, we know some of the things that need to be protected. But I think first and foremost, and what really is the umbrella for all of this, is religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Not as an excuse to discriminate against people, but instead to protect. So I think that's where I would be putting my energies.
My guest is my great friend Donna Redwing, who's retiring this month as the executive director of One Iowa. My gosh, you're going to be freed to go anywhere you need to go and do anything you need to do and not have to report to an agency. That is scary on one side.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous, right? Sumitra, my wife, you married us. Sumitra was recently arrested with the Standing Rock protests.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a righteous arrest, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I have to tell you, after spending a day in jail, when she left, all of the police officers came to see her and hug her and kiss her goodbye.
My goodness.
So that's the kind of, I guess, activism that I embrace.
Absolutely. Well, Donna, talk about the 4 years that you've spent in your current position.
Surprisingly, we fell in love with Iowa. And especially Des Moines. Des Moines, I like to call it the Paris of the Midwest because I am an optimist. But we fell in love with it. When people talk about Iowa Nice, they mean it. I came here as, I think, a long-term interim director. And the job was to decide whether One Iowa, which was really all about marriage issues, whether it should close its doors or was there another job? And so I spent 3 months going around the state just listening to people. I don't think I hit all 99, but probably 50 counties, and just listened to people. And what we realized was that there needed to be an organization that advocated for equality from cradle to grave. And so we began with literally no programming. Today, we have over 200 events every year. We have programming for the parents of children as young as 3 and 4, all the way through our Gay and Gray in the Midwest programming and even our Grief Academy programming. So we're literally doing this work from cradle to grave. We educate more than 2,000 law enforcement officers every year. Our first year, you know, we'd walk into a room, there'd be 100 men with guns who didn't want to be there, and it was very, very difficult. 3 years later, we're the highest-ranked training for the Law Enforcement Academy. And so I'm really proud that we've been able to do the kind of work that, one, the community said it wanted because we listened to them, and, two, the kind of work that helps the rest of Iowa understand that we are truly one Iowa and that who we are and who we get to be is both in our hands and theirs.
I think it's increasingly important to not lose track of what happens at the state and local level in this country. You've held leadership positions both nationally and locally. How do these differ in your experience?
I think nationally, working in Washington, you start to think that that's the center of the universe, and you and I know that it's not, right? Working nationally, I think you can impact some very important policy, but I do think you lose track or lose sight of what's important. What I love about working with a statewide organization is every day we're on the ground, every day something happens, and we know that somebody's life is better or someone's life was saved because of the work we do. It's so personal. It's so real. A state like Iowa, geographically we're a large state, but we just have a little more than 3 million folks here. We're working in rural communities. We're working in places where people would be kind of surprised that we were there. And for me, the greatest satisfaction of working locally is that you know the people you're working with, you interact with them, and you know what happens. If you do A, B, and C, you find out, you know, the D, E, and F. That's so satisfying. And if you've got it wrong, you know right away. Nobody's afraid to call you up. Nobody's afraid to walk in the door. And so you can fix it. And I think that's really important.
Donna, what advice can you offer to especially young activists out there right now at this particular time when they probably are feeling like the setbacks have been so heavy in a number of areas and would have the leaning to say, I just need to give up?
You know, if you give up, you lose. I think it's that simple. I've been doing this work in the LGBT community for 30 years, in the larger social justice movement for many more. We need to engage. We've been through this before. You know, I work with young people who have never lived in a world where their rights could be taken away, you know, who've never lived in a world where because they were gay, they were illegal or immoral or mentally ill. We've been there before. We're going to get through this. It's not going to be easy. But what we have to do, and whether it's a young LGBT activist or an environmental activist or a religious liberty activist, we have to engage. If we don't, then we are ceding the game to our opponents, and I'm not willing to do that. If this old woman can get out there and do the work, I really hope that the young folks who were so inspired by Bernie Sanders, were so inspired by parts of the campaigns, they need to keep at it. They need to keep at it.
Donna, from the perspective that you have today, what advice would you give the young Donna Redwing, the person you were when you were just starting out?
Oh, my. Probably the advice would be The more you do, the more you engage, the older you get, the more you realize what you don't know.
That's easy.
And I think, you know, it's really important to know what you don't know and to play to your strengths. There are things that I am very good at, and there are things I'm not. I wish that maybe I didn't have to engage in some of the things that I'm not so good at. But I guess the greatest advice would be ask the question, you know, what makes your heart sing? What can you get up and do every morning that completes you as a person? What can you do to be the best person you can be? And then follow that. Yeah.
Donna Redwing is a lifelong activist and advocate for LGBTQ rights and religious liberty. Most recently, she's held the post of executive director at One Iowa, from which she'll be retiring this month. Donna, I know we haven't heard the last of you professionally, and I know I haven't heard the last of you as a deep personal friend. I congratulate you on this step. I look forward to what's coming next, and I also look forward to when we'll be together again soon.
Thank you.